Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mr. Pygmy and the Man Hater Show. I am your host, Reagan, aka the Man Hater, and Chesco is crying because his ginormous head will not fit into his 3D printed Batman helmet.
It fits without the headphones. But then I can't hear if what shenanigans you're up to if I do that.
Prove it.
I want to publicly apologize for the episode where I joked about you calling me ugly.
What?
Remember the beginning of the show where I was like, you said, I don't remember what I said.
Oh, yes, I do know.
It was us joking. But there was at least one person that was like, this was kind of triggering for me because there's guys that will do like actually, yes. Like I was clearly just like, We were having fun. We were joking with each other. It was a continuation from the pre-show. But I was like, I could absolutely see how that's going to come off. If you've had to deal with like a narcissist ex or something like that, that was constantly like, what did you really mean by that, Jessica?
Jessica!
Jessica!
So, just so I'm getting this correct, you're apologizing to the viewer, but not to me. Is that?
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry it came off that way to someone. Reagan, shut up.
I don't apologize for hurting Reagan's feelings or making Reagan uncomfortable. I do apologize for making the rest of the internet see our relationship.
Literally not our relationship. I roast you, if anything, so.
You do. Yeah. I think you are worse to me. Off the air, and I am worse to you on the air. And it's a problem. It's a problem that I think is going to come back to haunt me at some point. But
you've had some good roasts, though. What was the one that I was the one where I had like the stomach virus and was sick to death? And I was like, I look disgusting. And you're like, so what else is new? I was like, damn it. Well played. Anywho,
well, that's who I am. They called me Funny Guy Chesco. That was my nickname.
No, it wasn't.
Chesco was my nickname.
That's true.
I was half lying. It was a half truth.
It was a half truth, but a half lie.
I guess you could throw anything like that in there, and nobody would know I'm lying because I could fool a lie detector test. They called me
Chesco.
Cool Guy Chesco.
You are such a panicked person. You would fail every lie detector test. You could just be saying your full legal name, and it would be like.
Jesco.
Lie.
Liar.
Liar. You have
three kids? Yes. Ah. Are you counting my dogs? Do you count my dogs?
You know, that's it. You'd be like, well, technically.
That was when I was being evaluated for autism. That was part of like the evaluation. It was like, well, here's a question for you. I'm like, well, in what context are we talking about here? Like, and what do you mean by that word, though? Like, how are you asking it? Are you asking me, like, do you take things literally? Or do people think you take things literally? I'm like, well, how often, like, do they literally always think I'm taking things literally? No, because I'm not, like, how many times are you even talking about non-literal things, right? I understand, I understand metaphors exist. When I'm reading poetry, do you think I'm like, the sun was really your heart? No. I understand.
If you did an eye test, I feel like you'd end up with the wrong prescription.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is like better or worse. Better, I feel like you would just.
I absolutely have had that issue with my glasses. my prescription changes all the time, better and worse.
Have I seen you with glasses before?
I had them when we met in person. I don't think I wore them that day. I only usually wear them when I'm driving or if I'm watching movies. I have a very mild prescription. All right. It's like the whatever, like where I don't technically need them to drive, but like I can pass the DMV eye test. I just like I like when things are crisper around me. Right. And so I like things crispy. I like my eyes feeling like I like when the visuals feel less fuzzy. But every time I go, it changes a little bit back. And she's like, that's interesting. Oh, I think we got it too strong last time. I was like, oh, okay. But it's because I'm like, well, technically this hurts my eyes a little bit, but it feels that is the sharper image.
See?
Not the score.
I knew it. I predicted it and I was correct.
Yeah, you were spot on, and that is a very fascinating observation I've never thought about, and I should probably make a video about it.
Because it's like better or worse, and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, go back again.
I've done that before. I'm like, can you do it again? I get the feeling like I'm taking a test, and I'm like, oh, God. It's like they don't care. They just want it to be the right prescription. There's no moral judgment on your eye test. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay.
Are you going to be mad at me if I get this wrong?
I literally can't see shit. So whatever.
Yeah, you're like my wife. When she has hers off, she's like, who am I? Who is this guy?
I literally last night, my wife, I don't know. She could not hear what I was saying. I don't know what was going on with her. And then I took my glasses off. I took my contacts out and I thought my glasses were right there by me. Wrong. So it was dark and I'm just like going around the house like, I can't find my glasses. And she's like, what? I was like, I can't find my glasses. We're like blind and deaf. It was terrible.
Oh, whenever, because now that I'm at the size now where I'm getting recognized a lot more in public. And so when I don't want to be recognized, I put my glasses on.
Clark Kent.
Yeah, it works though. It is people, like, it's given some credence to about the whole Clark Kent Superman thing. Because I'm like a superhero this way.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. No, it's very interesting. It used to be the height thing, but now enough people know that I'm tall that it's not as, because people would see me in real life. They'd be like, did I tell you, I want to start going by 5'8 online and tell people I'm short so that when I, and then just go interview like Manosphere guys and be like, 2 5'8 guys like us.
And they're like,
I think it would be really fun. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a short king. Call me a short king.
I thought you were short when I first, I don't know, became mutuals. Before
most
we were friends.
Do.
So when you film yourself, it's the angles.
Yeah, I think it's the millennial angle of like, yes. Somebody also said they didn't realize that tall men could respect women.
What?
There's been several versions of that comment. They're like, I just assumed you had to be short. You had to develop a personality and they like respect women because you couldn't rely on
your height. There is something called height hypnosis because there's a guy on Summer House. I don't know if you watch that show. His name is Austin. I think the man's a Muppet. I don't think he's attractive. There's a couple guys even on that's Southern Charm, but he's been on Summer House, and there's other guys on Summer House, which like if they're over 6 foot, these women are just like, oh, he's so handsome. I'm like, huh? Where? Why?
Has this always been a thing? Has height, yes. Like, I feel like height has become a lot more, though. Like, now, like, it was there. I don't remember here. I mean, tall was always, like, a thing, but it wasn't, like, as pronounced. Like, it wasn't talked about as much, at least when I was younger.
I think you're 6'5", so you've always lived a 6'5" experience.
I do. I just, having said that out loud, I'm like, it's probably one of those moments where you don't see your privilege.
It's like a beautiful woman being like, whoops really a thing?
I don't think anybody really cared. Because I definitely understood, like, as someone who was very overweight when I was growing up, like, I knew that was a thing back then. Sure. But yeah, I guess that completely checks. I'm like, I don't remember ever dealing it. I was 6'4 at 14 years old.
Oh,
yeah. And so it's like, literally, there's never been and I was 5'8 in like fifth grade. I grew that, like, and that's it was crazy. Like 2 inches a year. And so it's like, I've literally never had to experience the earth as someone that
was a short king.
I was a short king in third grade.
You're a prince. Short prince.
So I guess that is a great example of someone being blind to their privilege.
As where I am just blind. But like, I feel like
no one ever talked about it before.
Yeah, someone was like, because like with pretty privilege or anything like that, it's like, have you gotten stuff for free before? And you're like, yeah. They're like, stop talking.
Fuck. Well, I remember back in college when we're going to get to the episode eventually. When I lost a lot of weight and I was like going to the gym like literally 12 times a week to get in my bed. And it was, it was too much. And so, but I also couldn't afford foods. It was like a combination of like under eating
or just
and
go.
And it was a free gym in my apartment complex. So it was like literally work out 20 hours a week and not eat any food. Because the money I had was to go out partying on the weekend. So,
this isn't food money. This is party money.
And so I remember, though, specifically going to stores and being like, why are these salespeople so much nicer to me now? I was like, oh, that's really fucked up. Because I think it goes back to neurodivergent in general, but being autistic in general, I'm always extremely aware of how my body is navigating spaces. Like I'm always kind of looking mm-hmm. at my, almost like I'm looking at myself from above, like kind of like a video game. Mm-hmm. And so it was so obvious. I was like, that's not how this is not the programming that I have decided how I navigate this space anymore. Now there's a whole nother level of interaction that is happening that was not existent until that point. Man, society sucks.
That used to happen when I went to private school before. I was like, get me out of this hellhole. Right. I was like, please. Yep. This is not made for lesbians. It was private Catholic school, to be clear. Mm-hmm. It was right next to a mall that was like this bougie mall, but it was like the closest thing. So like, you know, we'd randomly walk over. Couldn't buy anything, but mm-hmm. you'd go over there. And I remember I would get drastic difference in interactions with mm-hmm. the women. It was a lot of times women that were working there. And I was like, why are they so different? And then it clicked in my head. Sometimes I would go over and like, you know, you'd wear like sweats after school. You'd change into like a shitty outfit and you'd walk over there. Other times I'd have my uniform on. If I had my uniform on, they would be so much nicer to me because they're like, oh, there's wealth somewhere. They're like, there's a dad or a mom involved here. And then if I was dressed in my sweats, they're like, oh, no. Oh, no. You can't be here.
Yeah.
And that's classism.
That is. That's a whole bunch of – this light where the world is great.
If you're just rich a and little pretty. Light listening about how the much light. The world sucks.
We do have a lighter episode for today.
Yes, and we do, actually.
I don't know if this is a good idea for me to do, but I want to preemptively apologize because I was the one preparing this episode. And I'm not good at this. I'm normally like just going off the cuff and just like, here's the thing. Let's talk about it. But there's a lot to cover because today we are delving into a Threads exclusive of something called the Bro Cruise. Throw echoes on it. If you could, put echoes there. Bro Crew theme song.
It's time. Mr. Pygmy and Man hated to talk all the shit. So grab your popcorn, thank me later. Don't want to miss it.
Why was that such a confusing
theme song?
Theme song.
I was hoping you could throw some voice effects there too.
I will not.
Well, maybe I will.
I could, I guess.
Maybe our episode will be late because I'm throwing in all sorts of
theme song. You don't even listen. You're definitely not adding voice effects.
Listen to that part. I will listen to that part. The one part of our show, I lied a little bit last week. I do watch our intro. Because I think that for me, that's the interesting part of the show.
Jesus. Thanks, Tresco.
This is not a contradiction. I have said from the beginning that I think the better show is the Patreon show. The one that's not, there's no, we already have very little preparation for this show.
I know, what are you talking about?
But the one that is just like us spilling the beans on everything going on and just being unhinged a little more. We're already.
It could be anything.
Here.
Today it was like really brutal politics stuff, and then sometimes it's like this happened when I went to the store.
But yeah. I think we would be a much more popular podcast if we flipped things.
We literally cannot post the. We say so much stuff on there. Personal things.
There's so many things. It's nothing like, we don't mean like bad things, but there's so many things out there that would be like, oh, people could probably find out where we live and who we are if we.
Careful though. All right. Tell me, what is the Bro Cruise?
All right.
Hey everyone, this is Reagan from Editing in the Future, and after we recorded this podcast, we realized that the Bro Cruise drama really needed a lot more time to break down. So if you want an in-depth breakdown with all the details, all the gossip and commentary, you can either listen to it on the Buckle Up Babes podcast, or you can watch the video of the podcast on the Reagan Reacts YouTube page, which we will link underneath this episode. Again, that's more of like a structured full breakdown of all the details, but if you are looking for a chaotic speedrun of the Bro Cruise drama, then you will be very pleased with what Chesco has in store for you. So that is enough from me. Let's let Chesco take it away.
So a woman on Threads named Courtney, and her name is Raleigh Cheesy, I think, because he owns a cheese shop in Raleigh, North Carolina. Is that how you pronounce it? North Carolina? Raleigh?
I think North Carolina? Raleigh. Yeah.
Really? So her friend was on a bachelor cruise and starts texting her live updates about how chaotic everything is. And she posted it on Threads and it went like mega viral.
I cannot wait.
So there are some cast members here we need to go over that she color codes. We're not going to do that on this, but I'm going to give them to you now. Uh-huh. There was the white was the groom, green was the prepared one, and that was her friend. Mm-hmm. On this, red was the menace who organized the trip. Blue made handwritten minion hats. There's a lot of characters. Orange bought everyone lanyards. Yellow arrived late, and then there's the Rat King, which was the undercover informant texting her everything.
What's a Rat King?
It came from some. Hold on, I have notes about that somewhere.
Isn't that from Nutcracker?
It was basically someone. Hold on, let me find where it came from.
It sounds frightening.
Okay, so the Rat King is Courtney's friend on the boat, who was the undercover informant texting her real-time updates. Okay.
Okay.
The Green was the Rat King's childhood friend who made. That was the green flag person who made an Excel itinerary nobody looked at. This is already starting off great.
We don't need to memorize the colors, do we?
Okay. No, I hope not. We'll find out. We'll find out how good I did this. That's what it is. Someone called them a mole, and someone said, "You're a rat," about the informant, and that's how they became the Rat King, for informing her about all this thing. That's where it came from. So it was like kind of comments responding to it. Okay, so pre-cruise, the night before, nobody booked any lodging. Nobody booked any lodging for the whole thing. So Red, who was the person that organized the trip, walked up to a hotel and asked for a room that was $376 plus tax. I don't know why I wrote that down. Green's Airbnb became the group holding area. They missed the free shuttle. They walked to a restaurant and were turned away for being too large of a party near closing. The groom hadn't checked his email, and his excursion payment failed, and he wasn't registered for the thing. So this is everything. This is how the trip is starting off. All right.
Wow.
So on the ship, Red, who was the menace who organized the trip, double tipped at the bar because he paid cash without reading the receipt, then discovered there was already an auto gratuity and got really angry about it. Blue, who was the one that made the handwritten minion hats, they tried to order steak medium well and got booed by the entire table, including the server. Red.
When the server's in on it, it's bad.
Yeah. They stabbed sushi violently with a single chopstick and planned to go mini golfing with no reservation. They never went. Green made an Excel itinerary that nobody looked at. The orange and yellow people kept losing at the casino, but red and orange did win big at one point.
Okay.
Somebody asked, is red really just three raccoons in a trench coat? Let's see. White and orange, so the groom and the one that bought everyone lanyards, they nearly missed the ship leaving Nassau. They made it with 2 minutes to spare.
Damn.
All right. So that's kind of the early on part of this arc. There's this whole issue with the seaplane. Okay. So there is a, I can't remember who it was. I didn't write it down. Someone owned a seaplane charter in Nassau and had been following the story and DM'd the Courtney, the person writing this on Threads, offering a free flight for the whole group. So Rat King pitched it to the bros saying, my influencer friend got us a flight. The groom had no idea. They arranged a limo, stocked with a cooler and a beer, had custom Pinky Eddie cups made for each bro. Rat King got the first officer seat, and White had their foot injured their foot that morning jumping off of a tour boat and boarded bandaged up. One beer bottle broke in the plane, and one of the bros needed to urgently use the restroom upon landing. The last night they were there at the steakhouse, a table of women in their 40s, one celebrating her divorce, gifted them champagne. They gave Green a free steak and closed out the night with the whole group. The groom got dressed in women's clothing and strutted to Shania Twain. Green got tingly limp plumper applied, and orange and yellow stayed up until approximately 4 a.m. with the crew. on the departure... Orange and Yellow were still up for the night before and hatched a 7:45 Uber plan around 4 a.m. and told nobody. Rat King woke up at 7 a.m. to find out, 35 minutes to shower, pack, and get to the lobby. Orange and Yellow never showed. They'd forgotten to settle their casino tabs.
Shit.
Rat King and Green left without them at the gangway. Red's scan triggered a security hold for them. Red was eventually released and made the flight. Which was detained. Why he was detained was never confirmed in the thread, as far as I know. The person posting this said that Rat King would be working at a shop that week, and he went from 300 Threads followers to 4,500 overnight.
Oh shit!
So it was. I didn't do this justice. It was a very chaotic cruise of like that was my quick summary. I was trying to write this out of just these guys that went on this bro cruise and did not plan anything. They just kind of hoped for the best, and it was just kind of incident after incident for them. And a lot of people were just like, this is a great example of what happens about why men are so dependent on the women and their relationships to do so much of the invisible mental labor, or what happens when that invisible mental labor is just ignored.
I feel like that was like so much information so quickly.
I know. There was hundreds of threads. Like there was so much on this. And I'm sure the comment section is going to be like, Chesco, never do this again. I think what this made me think about is all of the videos that pop up where you see all these dads are like, they show, you know, they wake up on the day of the vacation and they're just like, oh yeah, good thing. Everything's taken care of. The bags are packed. Everything's booked. All the activities are planned. And they're like, we did a great job planning this trip for our kids.
The vacation fairy appeared.
Here, I guess my admission is I had many a trip like this in my 20s. I like planning lots of things. When it came to trips, for some reason, I always had it in my mind that it would be better if we just go.
What?
We just show up. It would be better. And then I would do certain things. I'd be like, oh yeah, okay. I don't need a hotel room that second day. I'll just walk around with my suitcase for the entire day.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine because the cheapest hotel will be like 10 miles away from where, like, the activity I was going to. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be like, yeah, yeah, no, I'll just bring my suitcase with me. I'm sure it'll be fine. And I would just be miserable and learn nothing because I would do it again the next time.
Sometimes I would just, like, not think about all the elements of planning things. Like, I remember I took my wife out for her birthday. I planned a birthday trip for her, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to take her to a vineyard. It's going to be beautiful. She has a fall to winter birthday, and we arrived to a dead vineyard. It was like, it really felt like Silent Hill. And I was like, oh, okay, this is fine. So I get there and I'm like, okay, well, here's the pictures I saw. And she was like, I didn't think, when you said vineyard, I was a little worried. And there's like stray cats everywhere. And like, we like had gotten changed and like, Clearly, yeah. I don't know if the people who ran it thought we were sisters, but like we had left and we came back and there was like a Winopoly game on the table. And I was like, did someone come in here? And because it wasn't cleaned. So I was like, did someone come in our room? Like, because it was a little cabin. And she was like, no, I don't think so. That's crazy. I'm like, she's like, it's still dirty. I'm like, no, someone's definitely been in here. And then there's a couple like chocolates added somewhere. And I guarantee you they came in and saw like lingerie, all the women's lingerie. And they're like, oh no.
Oh no, God. It turns out there's a hatch in the floor that they come out of.
Sorry about that, ladies.
Well, they're gone. Quick.
I mean, they just like, I was like, I don't like love that they came in and out without telling us. No. But they literally like threw the Winopoly. We're like, shit, run.
They're like, oh, so all the it's a guy. And he's like, the rumors were true. When best friends hang out, they have lingerie pillow fights.
That's just one hell of a pillow fight. I was like, oh my God.
Interesting.
And then we accidentally, there was a cat that was their cat. And we let in what we thought was their cat because it kept trying to get in. And we're like, oh, it must be the cabin cat. And then like we had it in there for a couple minutes. And I was like, I actually don't think this is the cat we think it is. And it had like a gash on its leg. I was like, this is a different cat entirely. This is a rogue cat that was just very believable. I live here. Open up. I live here.
Yeah, please. Come on.
Don't be weird. Open the door. And then would not leave. I was like, ah, God, I'm so sorry. But yeah, I plan a well-intentioned bad trip sometimes. So
that's, well, sometimes it's the thought that counts, Reagan. That's what matters.
It was a funny-ass trip, though.
Yeah, I will fully admit it. There are some things like I am just, I'm just a man. You know, what are you going to do? No, I was like, there are aspects of like our household where I know my wife is completely responsible for the magic for our kids because I have, not to get too trauma heavy here, I'll be very light about this, but I have some pretty severe childhood trauma attached to certain holidays where I don't get excited. I'm like, I don't fucking care about this holiday at all. Mm-hmm. I don't want to celebrate it. But I'm like, I know I don't want to give my kids childhood trauma about that. And so I have so much trouble, like, and it's not fair that like my wife does like certain things to build the magic. I definitely make up for it in other ways, like on other holidays, other things there to, but there are certain ones specifically where I'm like, I have such a hard time getting excited about it. And she can see it in my face where I'm like pretending to be happy when I'm like, I hate that we're celebrating this right now. Like, there's nothing about this makes me happy, but I see my kids are happy and I'm like, oh, she's right. We need to do it. We need to make them happy.
The magic.
We need to break these, generational trauma, for them. But there are, I think that's you in any relationship, you find certain ways to balance that. And it's not like if that was sort of the expectation for every trip, every holiday, every celebration, every single thing we were doing, then you'd have the reason why so many women are unhappy in their marriages. Right.
Yeah, that's fair. I have like the opposite where like my mom like overdid it always for like was insane for holidays. And so like I have also the same issue now where I'm like, this is how it has to be. So I am like up late. Like all night doing crazy magical things that aren't necessary. And then I go too hard one year and then I have to keep it going because I'm like, we can't. Mm-hmm. And the thing that slayed me is I don't even remember what it was. I did something for my daughter the year before. And then like the day before she's like, oh yeah. And remember this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens. And I was like, oh, damn it. Yep. I was like, now I have to do all the things or I'll kill the magic. The magic will die.
That's what happened. we started a bunch of things over COVID because you were not leaving the house. So we're like, oh, let's make these holidays fucking amazing.
Oh no.
And then now the kids are like, oh yeah, yeah. Every Easter we do this. Then we have to remember to do this and we get this. And I'm like, Easter's not supposed to be a holiday where you get like a bunch of presents. At least in my house, that was not what but now it's like their expectation is that they get, because that was their, I remember specifically, I don't remember which COVID Easter it was. I think there was two. Yeah, there was two of them in there. Brutal. I think it was the first one. I think it was the one right after my youngest was born. We were like, because it was, but we were exhausted. Mm-hmm. We, you know, from the new baby. Plus it was like, we haven't left the house in like a month. We're like, fuck it. Let's just like overdo. Let's do every single possible Easter tradition you could think of. And then we did it that year and the next year. And so that's enough for a tradition now that their expectation is, they're like, Easter might be my favorite holiday. I'm like, is it? Whose holiday? I mean, I don't want to mock anybody, but like for me, I was like growing up, Easter was like, oh, cool. We go, we'll find some eggs.
Right.
We go to church and find some eggs. You guys, they don't even have the church part. They don't even have the boring part.
I go insane with it. Like I even do like leprechauns. I let the leprechauns tear up my house, which is not my cup of tea, by the way.
I nixed that, by the way. That was something we did. I finally, that was, I killed that tradition. I was.
You did? You're the killer of the leprechauns?
There was some, I don't want to butt into your story because I want to hear all about what you specifically do, but we did something similar. And I was like, I said to my wife, I was like, we can't do this forever. We're going to do Arbor Day celebration of like, like, I just, our kids are so fucking spoiled. And I was like, I can't. I was like, no, this is the one thing. And I was like, St. Patrick's Day is not going to be another Christmas. We can't do it.
We can't keep doing this.
Yeah, and so that one, I finally, this was the year where I was like, and my daughter was like, ooh, I can't wait to see what the leprechaun brings. I was like, no, that was something we did for you.
Oh, you told?
Well, no, I never lied about it. I was like, Well, honey, you know, because we always, that one specifically, I was like, we did some really cool stuff. And like, well, originally when they were really young, we joked about like there being leprechaun footprints and stuff. But like we got them like a pot of gold, like with toys, like stuff inside of it. And I was like, no, we're not doing that anymore. I'm sorry. We're not going to go. I'm a shitty dad. That's what it is. I'm one of the guys on the bro cruise.
You just decided we're not doing that anymore.
That one was for me, was the one that like, just went over the line. We have so, our kids are so spoiled, Reagan. And like, I don't know, if they don't, we have to have a little trauma or they're not going to be funny.
Well, you just killed the leprechaun, so that's.
I did. I killed the leprechaun.
You should have staged a murder.
To be fair, our kids were born like during the middle of a deadly pandemic. So I think my son missed kindergarten and half of first grade. So I guess.
Something. Some magic.
Are they still Gen Alpha? I think they're still Gen Alpha. Whatever. The younger Gen Alpha are going to be so fucking funny.
I mean, the funniest generation.
Man, yeah. they got like this whole generational I guess we all did, but.
I fucking love holiday stuff. Like my mom would literally, she would like, and this is what I do, and this is why I am psychotic. So they would like, she would like, we'd put like toys out for the leprechaun, like stuff for like a treat for them. Mm-hmm. And then she'd fuck with all of it. And like for example, my sister one time, she like really was into animals, like just as like she loved animals always. She had like this little zoo set that she put out, and the leprechaun, shall I say, made a parade and stacked them on top of each other and like redid the whole thing so it looked really cool. So, and she would like kiss us with green lipstick on our cheek while we were sleeping. She hung streamers from my fan. I caught her one year. I woke up to see my tiny, like 5'4" mother on a ladder hanging streamers. And I go, Mom, and she goes, oh, she's like a Disney princess too. She's like, I thought you did this. Did you do this? It's like, and I believed it. I go, no. And she goes, I was just taking it down. It was 3 a.m. probably.
Yeah.
She's like, I just taking it down because I didn't know who did it. Oh, it was the leprechaun. Go back to sleep. Went back to sleep. Mm. Didn't question it. Didn't even question it.
Mom wouldn't lie to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I was like, how did you do all that magic? She goes, I didn't sleep. And I was like, okay then. So that's how that was done. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this shit's hard. I was like, I'm tired. She's like, I didn't sleep.
So much work. I'm tired, Mom.
I'm tired, much, Grandpa. Keep digging. That is me now, is I, or the leprechaun, just freaking, I like, destroy my own home where the leprechaun has gotten to some mischief.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I do these things?
I also, I go back and forth and I struggle with, like, I won't lie to them about, like, the real, but I won't ruin the magic also.
I definitely lie about the magic.
I've definitely misled, but this is like where I'm like, I could be a really terrible person if I wanted to sometimes. It's like, I don't want to, like, they'll be like, is Santa real? I'm like, do you think Santa's real? Yeah. All right.
Bad boyfriend.
That's all it is.
Are you cheating on me? Do you think I'm cheating on you?
Do you think I'm cheating on you?
There you go.
No.
Did you read my text? I need to know.
I need, it's just, but it's like, so I'll like, I'll always throw it back on them. I'll be like, or it's like, is Santa real? I'm like, look at all these presents.
I heard kids lighting them.
I'm like, so.
I'm a liar.
Yeah.
Like, about that.
People always talk about, like, the, you know, the trauma of finding out, like, about that your parents lied to you about that. I was like, I don't know. I was pretty young when I figured it out that he wasn't real. So I don't know. Maybe I'm like, I don't know. I specifically confronted my mom. I'm going to talk quietly right now in case my kids can hear me because they're home from spring break now.
Shoot.
But I specifically confronted my mom at like 5 or 6 years old. And I was like, it doesn't make sense. I remember, it's one of the logical. Few like young memories. Literally, my little Vulcan brain as a child, I was like, it doesn't make sense. And she was like, well, you know, he blah, blah, blah. I was like, it doesn't make sense, Mom. And then she was like, what? And she tried to do all the excuses and I started getting mad. And I was like, it doesn't make any sense though. And she was like, okay.
Here's the deal.
All right.
Have I told you this?
No.
I got massacred in the grocery store over this. I was in the grocery store with my mom. My mom also is not a liar. She's not lied to me. I mean, she lied about that, but like not Target. Like I was like locked in and I was like, is Santa real? And because she just went like, she wasn't ready for it. Because it was just a normal day in the grocery store for her. And I was like, oh, so what, you're saying the Tooth Fairy's not real? And she's like, and I was like, oh my God, is the Tooth Fairy real? And the Easter Bunny? And she's like, and I was like, oh my God. It was like, oh, I took them all out in one sitting. It was a rough day at the grocery store. But don't know. I feel like. This is my. I'm not slamming anybody or anybody who does it different. I feel like that time of magic is such a limited time, and like I look back on it now with joy. Like I really enjoyed those moments, and I don't feel like kids have that. As like now, I feel like it's shorter than ever of being like a child with magic in your world. So I am hoping that when I eventually tell her, she will also appreciate like the way I appreciate it now.
The way we do it is for Christmas also, like, it's Santa brings their shittiest gifts. like, it's not, like, the best gifts are from mom and dad.
Right.
Because it's also, like, our way of combating, like, the classism. Like, the idea, like, oh, Santa, I love you more. Like, they get, like, it's something to wear, something to read, and something to play with. And they're all very small things. Mm-hmm. And those are the and every year, that's how we do our list to Santa is, like, what do I want to wear? What do I want to read? What do I want to play? Something fun.
I like that.
And it's always something small. And so they get their three gifts that were on the list. It's always very, very simple things. But the other side, the thing that makes me mad, I always hear people, I remember somebody got mad. They're like poor, you're like poor kids hear about Santa and then, and they feel like less. Like I grew up in poverty. I was like everybody I knew was poor. Mm-hmm. We all fucking loved Santa, even though we didn't get shit. Like it was the part. So I had so much fun going through the Toys R Us, and circling things. And it was, and even though I would get like, my mom would try to figure out a way to make it like feel magical, but I knew I wasn't getting a lot, but also I was around other poor kids who also weren't getting a lot.
Right.
So none of us were doing that. But like, I hated when people were like, you're hurting poor kids. I was like, I was a poor kid. All my friends and family were poor kids. And we fucking loved the magic of the holiday.
Well, it's interesting too, because I realized we celebrate Easter in the sense of we celebrate eggs. Like, do egg searches. Eggs. Yeah. Does the bunny lay the eggs? My wife said that the bunny lays the eggs. And I was like, no, he just hides them. Is he supposed to canonically?
I don't know. I think most of the books have him have like a basket.
That's he's what carrying I thought.
Around. But I guess has he been laying them and collecting them this for weeks and like getting him ready?
Is he a mutant?
Hold on. I gotta Google this.
Canonically, does he lay them?
The Easter bunny?
Because that's a whole nother can of worms.
Eggs.
Let's see. I roasted her about that.
Original German folklore. He is traditionally considered an egg-laying hare.
Oh!
The myth tells of a magical hare that lays colorful eggs for children to find.
Oh, that's so weird to me.
The Easter hare brings colored eggs to good children.
I have to let that go because that disturbed me on a very deep level of thinking about him just, like, popping out eggs.
It's all pagan anyways. Right? It's all...
Well, back to the topic. Like, that's all we do. And we do eggs and we do baskets. But obviously, we don't celebrate that, the Christian holiday of Easter. But I'm like, I sent her to school, and her school is not Christian at all, which is part of it because, like, it gets anti-gay quick at a lot of, like, Catholic schools, in my area, anyways. But. Like, she walked in, and the teacher immediately was like, or the person that greeted her was like, oh, did the Easter Bunny come for you? And I'm like, shit, there's so many, like, it's so assumed that people are going to celebrate certain holidays. Because we're not Christian. It's not like she has said something that would make her assume that. So it's like, it's also if you don't celebrate holidays, it can be pretty awkward and, like, they can feel left out, which it's just like, oh, I hate that as well. Like, classism, obviously, I hate, but I also hate how it's like assumed Christianity, which is weird because the school is very like, there's like a bunch of different religions open. Mm-hmm. Like, in her class specifically, I know there's a bunch of different religions because it affects what certain kids can eat as well. But yeah, it was just weird. I was like, well, I'm glad we did something because that would have been weird for her. She'd be like, what? Right. What are you talking about?
But my manager.
Hello.
Texted me. He was like, "Happy Easter!" And then a minute later, he was like, "If you celebrate, I don't know. Like, I hope that wasn't offensive." I was like, "Oh no, no, we are Bunny and Santa Claus celebrators. We don't. My kids have no idea. I think I shared that story before. Where a religious neighbor of ours invited my kids over to do crafts, and I walked over after they've been painting for a while, and my son was like, why are we painting lowercase t's?"
Why would your neighbor have them painting crosses?
It was either Christmas or Easter. It was one of the two, where they had like a whole baskets of all these like various Easter related things, and some of them were crosses.
Crosses.
So I think it was probably Easter. My son was, and she looked at me like horrified, like
heathen.
But you could tell she could not hide the fact that she was like, "Your son does not know what this means." I was like, "Yep, we love the letter T.
We love T.
It's fun painting letters. Let's go, bud."
I would be freaking out if that happened. I've had my grandma is religious and like she's somehow accepting of me, but she's also like I would assume probably she was not raised to be accepting of me. Let's leave it like that. But like she would randomly give us like books and stuff, and then there would just be like a biblical child story, and I'm like, I don't know if we're gonna read this one because
we went through
some questions.
My mother-in-law is very religious, and it is interesting because she's the only one. Like, none of her daughters are, like, her husband's not, none of my family is, and so it's always like she came over for on a Friday during Lent, and she was like, "Do you mind if we have a meatless dinner?" For it,
and
I was like, "Yeah, we'll make sure you have a meatless dinner."
You can.
We will absolutely respect your right to practice your, because I do practice any individual's right to,
of course,
to do
of
what they want to do.
Of course.
I'm not going to like force that on you.
That would be crazy.
respectfully, I also ask that you don't force that onto
myself.
Yeah, respectfully. It's like my kids eat three things. It's like sometimes it's not eat like if they're not, if it's not half of it is vegan or like vegetarian stuff,
right?
Like
sure,
quesadillas or grilled cheese or something.
You're like
cheese
here's pizza. Some tofu.
Yeah, it's like, if it's one of the days where they're willing to eat one of those, that's great. But I have disabled children who have very specific palate choices, and especially even any children, even mm-hmm. not are ones that you throw on the extra layer of neurodivergency, and it's.
I think it's interesting. Certain. trying to be careful. Certain religions, I feel, are more aggressively entitled to certain things. Like, because, yeah. like, I've been to, like, Jewish celebrations for different holidays. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I had a lot of Jewish friends. And, like, I would participate in what they were doing. And no problem. Like they mm-hmm. it was actually very nice. They were very welcoming and, like, would teach me about different things. Mm-hmm. But like, I think the idea of, like, forcing your mm-hmm. religious practice, like, especially, like eating, like, what you're eating is mm-hmm. different. Like, I can't imagine any of my Jewish friends coming over and being like, you will eat
right.
what I'm eating right now. I don't know. I just think it's very interesting, like, where the comfort level is mm-hmm. there. Because I think for your own self, it makes sense. Or, like, mm-hmm. you know, if someone didn't want that in their home, there's certain religious practices where I'm like, okay,
right.
like, if they wouldn't want you to bring meat into their house right. or something, it's like, oh, okay. Right.
And that's a different thing, where if you're yeah. entering somebody else's space.
Agreed.
That is that versus when if somebody is coming to my
space. Your
space. Right. Then it's yeah. the exact same thing. Like, it's respecting what they believe in their home.
Absolutely, sure.
Versus there's no contradiction there. I was like, cause people always see be like, oh, well, you don't blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, there's no contradiction here. Mm-hmm. The way I've always looked at stuff, and it's actually been a really healthy, like, viewpoint for me to mm-hmm. navigate these spaces that are going to have different belief systems that are there, is I just view it as cultural traditions, right?
Right.
In the same way that I view religious traditions, in the same way that I would look at a family that might eat their food a certain way, or
right.
when you enter your home, you take off your shoes. Like that is a cultural, I mean, that's also, you know, that I think most people, that's pretty common cultural tradition. But mm-hmm. if somebody didn't want me to take my shoes off in their house because that's what they had, I'd leave my shoes on, right? There's,
sure.
That's a kind of a simple example, but there's all these sort of things. Right? As long as I navigate it under the premise of, like, oh, I'm respecting your space in the way that you choose to live in that space, then it makes things a lot easier, as opposed to me being like, I have to, as long as you don't expect me to change who I am or what I believe as a human being.
Right.
Obviously, there are going to be limits to what you will do. you know, if your culture is abusive, I'm not going to respect.
Right, that. Sure.
I'm not going to be walking and be like, no, no, you be abusive. I'll walk
it's
from
fine.
The side.
I don't mind.
That's not a space I'm going to enter
right.
and participate in that particular thing.
I also am like, don't push that on my child. That will rub me the wrong way.
100%.
Because I yeah. have, it's never been really bad. Sometimes mm-hmm. it gets awkward because, like, children will do it to other children, and I'm like, I feel like I've gotten really good at, like, handling conversations of, like, not, I don't negate anything they're saying, but mm-hmm. like, I've had lots of kids from all different religions that want to tell me about it, and I'm like, oh, that's mm-hmm. really interesting. But if it got to, like, an adult trying to
right.
convince right. my child, then I would mm-hmm. be like, I actually, can I tell you this?
'Cause
I was ready to throw a fit. So we just got back from Disney, and we had, you know, you pay a lot of money to see the princesses and whatever else.
Right.
And my daughter, so that had just happened. So just mm-hmm. literally just gotten back. And I was at a, it's like a recital. Like, they just get okay. up there and sing a song and talk about right. stuff.
Sure, sure.
We have them every so often. So I was sitting there, and a teacher came up to me, not the main teacher, but a different teacher. And she was like, oh, yeah, I feel like you're going to be really mad at me, which I was like, what? Why? What are we talking about? Because I'm not. Right. I don't get. There's never been a case where I've yelled at a teacher or something. If anything, I'm like overly like, how can I help right. you? Yeah. What can I do for you?
100%.
And she's like, yeah, I don't know if your daughter told you about this, but the concept of princesses came up, and like, are they real? And like, was that real? And I guess some of the girls said they weren't real. And then she asked me. And so, yeah, I just told her they weren't real. I was like, oh, what? She flat out told her, my daughter, yeah, those aren't real. That wasn't real. When you went to Disney, that wasn't real. And she's like, but you're a princess. And I was just like, okay, wait a minute. Yeah.
You answer it the way I answer my kids. You lie to them by not lying.
Well, she could have just said, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask your mom. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's something you should talk to your mom
yeah,
about.
Yeah, talk to your mom about yeah. that.
Oh, I'm like, know, I'm not sure.
You know she believes they're real because she just told you. Like, we just got back, and she's telling me, and like, this is not the time or space to get heated about anything. But I was just like, so I'm like, and there's also like a slight language barrier with this teacher. So I was like, it took me a second to really grasp what was being said to me. And then I was like, I'm not going to like, I'm like waiting for the show to start. I'm like, okay. She's like, yeah, sorry about that. You know, but she's like, but I would never say Santa's not real. And I'm like,
that's where she draws the line.
Yeah. I'm like, what's the difference? Why is that one fine? But you said, but I was just like, why would you? But luckily, apparently my daughter did not catch what she was putting down. Didn't know what she was saying because after she was like,
But I think that's for us, there is no difference, right? Where now when you look at it, it's all just fables and stories and things that mean something. For me, like that's the exact same thing. Like there's no difference between saying that, you know, this princess is real and Santa Claus is real and Jesus is real.
Okay. I'm not commenting on that one.
I know.
Sorry. You do that one. But I just meant like, I felt like that was so weird of a teacher to like, because obviously, you know, it's not cool to, but to, luckily it didn't. So it was fine because it didn't affect her. But I was like, you could have crushed her because she was just, she's in kindergarten. She was so excited. We just did this huge trip and you're like, oh yeah, that was just someone playing pretend. I was like, okay. All right. I was like, because I don't crush people. I would never crush a kid's beliefs. I would just say, talk to your parent. Oh, that's cool. And she's like, yeah. And she knew it was bad because she confronted me about it. She was like, yeah. Which I was just like, I wish you wouldn't have done that. We just got back. And like, she's on a, you know, she's on a 10 after that trip. She still talks about what the princesses said to her and how they made her feel, which like, you know, props to those actresses. They are so good that like, they make kids feel so special. And like, while we were there, there was a kid who I think had a higher, what is it? What's the proper higher needs? What is the right thing? More support needs. Higher, like a
higher support pretty, needs,
pretty higher support needs. And God, they were so great with him, and he had such a good time. You could just tell he was so happy, and they just like they're just great with kids. They just do a great job. And then she's like, "That wasn't real." I was like, "Why would you do that?" Oh my God. Please don't do that. I'm not saying lie. You don't have to lie if you're not comfortable, but just don't say nope, fake, fake news.
Kids are really easy to like divert, like squirrel over there. Yeah, and this,
literally. Let's focus on the classwork.
I don't think that's something we should be talking about right now.
Yeah.
I think it's I don't know if anybody is. I don't know if there is a correct answer. I think there's a lot of people that really feel strongly that they have the correct answer.
Sure.
And how they're doing things. I think we're all trying our best for certain to not fuck up our kids. And some probably do better at it than others. And sometimes you're just working in survival mode because there is no handbook because every single child is different and every single culture is different. Every single belief system is different. I think it is because like the way we approach religion also is like, I'm honest with my kids that I don't believe anything. But I also say, you know, when I was younger, I did strongly believe, because they'll ask, they'll be like, you know, why don't we go to church like so-and-so does? Because they know their friends go there. I'm like, well, certain people believe that blah, blah, blah. And I'll give them the spiel about what it is. Mm-hmm. And trying my best not to say it in a way that sounds like disrespectful, because I also don't want her to go to her friends and be like, my dad says you believe is bullshit. Yeah.
My dad said there is no God.
So that's never happened. So I think we've done a pretty good job, even though they have friends that, you know, are deeply religious. Mm-hmm. But we, that's always like, my approach is just like, you know, this is what I believe. Mm-hmm. If you choose to believe something differently, you know, I'm not the arbiter of everything right in the world. This is what I've come to believe, but I also don't want to lie to them and be like, and that's where I think they get so confused sometimes. So I'll be like, no, there's no such thing as ghosts. I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in magic. We don't need to be scared of demons or monsters, because those aren't real. Mm-hmm. But Tooth Fairy is real. Santa's the Easter Bunny. Those things are real. And so I can reach out, like my middle child is actually the one where I can see it in her head where she's like,
tell me, there's right?
There's a contradiction there, versus my oldest and my youngest are still just like, whatever.
Perfect. More gifts
More gifts for me. Versus, like, I feel like my middle one doesn't want to push it because she knows. She's like, I wonder if I were to like pop that bubble, does that mean I don't get as many presents? I want the
gift part.
Because she's the one that's asked me a few times, and I'm like, I do think that's kind of the best way. I'm like, well, what do you think? She was like, I mean, it makes sense to me. I was like, okay, that makes sense to me too. Then it works. That works out. How could he do it? I don't know.
Have
you ever seen him? I've never seen him. And I'll be honest. They're like, well, what do you see? I'm like, I've never seen him. I don't know. Honestly lying.
I don't want to crush dreams too soon. I don't want to. Yeah. But I get people who don't do it, who don't want to do it, don't.
I fully respect it. And there's a part of me is like, wonder if that would have been an easier way to go. Because at a certain point, we're going to have that crushing conversation.
Right.
In the middle of the grocery store where she's screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, as an adult, I'm like, I'm glad that was a fun time. Like, I have really good memories of believing that.
Hopefully their immense privilege will protect them from this crushing blow of I got through it as this little undiagnosed autistic boy in poverty. You can get through it as you're like my little spoiled middle class.
You'll be okay.
I don't know. I keep saying spoiled. That's more on me, because I never say spoiled in reference to like. I'm saying it as it sounds like I'm saying it about my kids, but I'm saying it about like, got it. I feel like I'm fucking up. Like I'm making up for like it's. I'm meaning it like a self critique of like, God, I like I'm making up. Like I knew I couldn't get this as a kid. Now I'm like, technically, I can afford this. I think we should give it to them.
I get it.
It is. They're good. They're good kids. That's what matters. They treat other people with kindness.
They're kind children.
That's what matters. We'll take kind. I'll take it.
We'll take it.
Doing the best I can.
You're doing the best. We all are, Chesco.
We are.
Well, actually, I guess hopefully we all are.
Yeah. So that was our episode on the Bro Cruise.
I feel like that part was a fever dream. I was like, what? Blue, green, orange. Who are these people?
I am so, this is why people will ask us. They're like, I think maybe you guys should dial it back a little bit and prepare a little more. And this is what happens when I try to prepare something, because I can't stick to it. I don't know. I don't think that's what our show is. I think if people want a prepared, structured show, go somewhere else. That's my sales point for our show today, Reagan. If you want something that like feels like your hosts are really putting in the hours to lay out a fully structured show, you're probably not going to be happy here. Our show is an ADHD fever dream that is I personally don't want it to get structured. And I think the people that stick around will love us for that and be here for the journey.
I think if it's more structured, it's probably going to be on my end. Like, I would probably hold a structure to it. But also, we have two people who like to tangent.
Yeah.
So
who are actually friends, too. So, like, that's part of it. I think it would be easier if we didn't actually like each other. You know what I mean? Because I think we'd be like, no, let's shut up. Let's talk about what we're talking about. Versus we're like, no way.
Tell me more.
He did what? Oh man, I have a story about that too. And that's our show in a nutshell.
Well, friends, thank you for listening. As you know, we have the Patreon. If you want to hear the more unhinged version that Chesco prefers,
arguably more structured show.
It's not. It's literally whatever we're thinking about that day.
Which is so different from our real show.
And other than that, friends, make sure to follow us on all socials, and we will see you next week.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.